Hello, welcome to the Good Book Club for Epiphany 2019. Today is January the 25th, 2019. This is day 17 of the Good Book Club. And it is also the day the church remembers in its calendar the conversion of St. Paul. And so it's appropriate that we remember Paul's shift in his own life to following the Lordship of Jesus, as we read some of Paul's own testimonial about his struggle with sin in today's reading, which is Romans 17, verses 14 through 25. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But, in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. Many words have been used to explicate this pretty compact and what you might have heard as circuitous passage of Paul's letter to the Romans. It seems as if he's got some self-hatred going on, and you know, lots of people have tried to psychoanalyze Paul at this point. And I think it's best when we're reading this to again keep it in context with all that has gone before it, the argument that Paul is laying out about what it means to be subject to, and I know I'm repeating myself, but subject to sin with a capital S and death with a capital D. He starts out today's reading by talking about the law is spiritual, but I am in the flesh, sold under slavery unto sin. He revisits this notion of who we're serving or what we're serving, what we are enslaved to. You will remember that he introduced this concept of being a slave to sin back in chapter 6. He also adds a new spin in this passage when he introduces the term flesh. Now, flesh is the word for flesh can mean just simply the meat that is the human body, right? The sinews and the muscles and all that composes us is flesh in the sort of biological sense. But Paul is using flesh in a theological sense. And flesh for Paul in a theological sense is a euphemism for a worldview which is in contradiction to God's righteousness. And even this flesh is even in contradiction to our own minds, our own ability to discern right from wrong. And Paul goes into this great thing about doing the things he doesn't want to do and not being able to do the things that he does want to do. And he sort of lays it all out as this constant war between being a righteous mind that wants to serve the gift of God's law and being bound up in the sort of fleshy contradiction and constantly disobeying the law that has been given to him as a Jew and as a gift. And so the law of sin, he says, is what is over him and within him. This is not something as flighty as the devil made me do it. What Paul really sees and really sort of reveals is this constant war within himself of what he knows to do with regards to obedience to the law, and what he continues to do or not do, which shows how he is a slave to the law of sin and death. It's complicated, but I think if we think about it very much, we can all relate, which is why, and this is more preachy than explication, which is why I think we cannot ever, as people who are Christians, simply rely on our own behavior as a barometer of where we are in the spiritual life. We all have those kind of Pauline moments, don't we? Wanting to do things that are good and failing to do them, and more often than not wanting to do the things that we know are wrong or contraindicated or take us away from God's righteousness, but seeming to have no power to resist temptation, no power to overcome those things on our own. And so I think that this is one of the most human passages that Paul has, where he is self-revelatory about his own spiritual struggles. He is owning the fact that he is not immune to the power of sin and death, that he is held captive, enslaved, if you will. And he, at the end, sort of has this amazing, exasperated question. Oh, wretched person that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I don't believe that this is Paul heaping on the guilt upon himself or upon us. It's just a rhetorical exclamation as he comes to understand his own powerlessness, his own inability to do what he needs to do and not do the things he doesn't need to do. And so how does he answer his exasperated question, his exhaustion of this interior struggle? He answers his exasperation with an exclamation, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." I don't know about you, but the interior struggle of simply living with the realities of the human condition can be exhausting. And if we turn faith into a self-improvement project, we are going to be more disappointed in ourselves than really we could bear up under over the long term. In fact, if we turn the faith of Christ into keeping a bunch of rules, we will constantly disappoint ourselves. This is not to say that we're not to strive for faithfulness, but to revisit a theme that I keep being reminded of as I read this text, we can be faithful not because we have the energy on our own, but we can be faithful because we follow the one who was faithful to the end. We are faithful because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And so we can say, along with Paul, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let us pray. Set us free, O God, from the bondage of our sins, and give us the liberty of that abundant life which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.